Hi, welcome to the Lift Podcast, where we talk faith, family, and fitness. I'm your host, Erica Irvin. Join us for another exciting episode where we seek to edify, encourage, and inspire the next generation of women. See you inside.
Greetings, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode today. We are live and just kind of having some with my brother from another mother. We met by way of, my husband is great friends with the Perkins family. I believe this is, your dad is, let me make sure I get this correct. He is the pastor at
Ebenezer
Baptist Church in Alabama. And so my husband grew up with you guys and y'all, in church.
Yes.
In church. And before we get into all those details about, you know, history, I just want to give everybody an opportunity to hop on the episode and just comment where you're coming from. But I've checked out the website for the Blessed Clothing Line, and it is fire. It is quality clothing. I've had an opportunity to peruse through the website. And so I will be ordering some workout gear for my husband and myself. People like winning in this season of life that we're in. We want to win. So this is just a chance, an opportunity to support a good family friend, and also for you guys to win some clothes. So with that, I just want to welcome, not Rashad, see, Justin Perkins.
It's okay.
So. I was so embarrassed, but I'm constantly getting the two of their names mixed up, because actually when you look at both of their social media pages, they do look very much alike. So anyway,
definitely my brother, and they, you know, they know who Jabbo is as well as Jerry is, and the same goes to me. I'm Justin Rashad Perkins, but you call me Perk. Some people call me Rashad. Some people just say Blessed when they see me. So it's totally up to your discretion. Thank you so much for having me here today, Erica. And like you said, you know, it's amazing how God aligns these things, and these things are predestined. You know, I would have never thought, as a little boy following your husband around at the church, you know, looking up to him as a drummer and a scholar and a musician and all the things that I looked up to him for. Growing up, never would have thought in a million years I've been here sharing this moment with his wife, and such a gracious opportunity. So, I just marvel at the works of it all, and makes it easier just to dwell in the confirmation of just trusting the process and trusting God in all things that we do. And because, you know, at the end of the day, he always exceeds my expectations. And so this is a classic moment where I'm excited to be here, elated to be here with you. And thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with that, when we're talking about the grace of God, let's go for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into this thing.
Absolutely.
Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray for my brother right now, and I just ask that you just continue to bless him, bless his family, continue to allow his horizons to be expanded, continue to pour into him and bring him into a closer relationship with you as he continues to seek your face, as he continues to expand his horizons with business opportunities, with any ventures that he has going on. Bless this conversation and let it be pleasing to you. Allow us to continue to share with the audience the wisdom and the jewels that we might need to hear as far as starting a business, as far as insurance, and anything else that this brother has to share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Bless it. Yes. So tell me about yourself. Let's go into that. And, you know, how did you come into the clothing business?
Well, I'm from a small town, but a significant place, you know. And so I've always, like I like to often tell people, I've always been able to look at things that may seem small and be able to captivate the significance of his greatness despite of the size. And Blessed is one of those things that kind of evolved from a place like that. It just came from a small place and interacting with those that I came into contact with. And I was simply just being my natural self, encouraging and trying to be the light in the room wherever I am. And I was using Blessed as kind of like affirmation. You know, that's what I came up. I slogan it as, you know, it's the affirmation of life's aspirations, whatever it is that you aspire, you seeking God for, you want, bless it. You know, it's like that stamp. You have to stay at work, and you got that promotion on the job. Hey, bless it. You know, you've had PT test, you know, that you've been trying to get that mile, that 2 mile time down. Hey, bless it, you know.
Yeah.
And from that, it just gravitated. I noticed that people would start saying it back to me. You know, they would say it to me when they saw me, or they would just say it, you know, in general. And from there, just the natural business savvy of it all was just like, hey, this may be something I can, you know, put on a t-shirt, and then, you know, I need to protect it, you know. And it just kind of evolved from there. And so it's been one of the ways that I try to always seek for different ways to use my gifts to just to bless others, and bless it where the clothing just so happened to be one of those ways. And there have been times where I picked it up and put it down, but people would always still look for it, seek it out, you know, make it their own, whatever message they wanted to apply to it, you know. Hey, I like this because of this. And it could be totally oblivious to what I originally started, you know, for, but people would tailor it and bless it and make bless it their own. And that's what I like, you know, about it. It would putting the smiles on people's faces, just bless people in any ways. And I've always tried to do that, whether it be through my music, whether it be through just philanthropy and advocating for the community and advance my people, or the city of Selma. Always tried to use my platform to do that. And like my pops always says, it's pretty fundamental when I break it down to just how I move. I basically just try to put God first and treat people right. And I look for ways to do that, you know? And so bless it, here we are. Here we are now, 7 years later since I put my bless it t-shirt, and we still rolling. And so I enjoyed it. But I've also, like I said, I use it as a springboard to other things. The thing about fashion and retail is it connects to so many other things, you know, especially in the arts world.
Yes.
Entrepreneur world, people always looking for different ways, even if they don't want to bless it, they want to understand how to create a business for themselves where they can put their own, you know, slogan on their merchandise and apparel, or how to get into wholesale distribution and relationships where you can get your merchandise wholesale at a price that's more enough for you to market up and make your profit off of it on the retail side, you know, things like
right that. Now, what mindset? So, and I know we're talking about the Blessed Clothing line, but as an entrepreneur, what mindset changes do you feel like you needed to have in order to run a successful clothing line? Because I remember when I first started seeing Blessed come out, and it was like, we was in another part of the country, and me and Maurice was saying, Blessed, you know, everything that was going, and y'all would not have known that. But on our end, we were, you know, we were having discussion about different things in our own life. And, you know, we're like, Blessed, Jesus, Blessed, you know, and because we saw that imprint. And I don't think at the time we didn't meet, but I believe your brother was sharing certain things, and I'm like, bless it, you know. I loved it. I love the idea of, you know, having that as a slogan, as a phrase, and it also became like the ongoing joke in the house, like, bless it, Jesus, you know. And so it didn't just touch the one area, but it had a feel of, we're going to add this to everything. So absolutely. Tell me what mindset changes that you had to have in order to make this come, let this thing come to fruition.
Bless it. It's kind of like my special barbecue sauce. You can put it on anything.
Yes, yes.
But you know, really the fabric of a person really has to be more than what we're pipeline and programmed, you know, through our traditional school systems, through our traditional church structures, through our traditional community structures that we currently have in place right now. You really have to, for example, you know, our educational system focuses on, and I shared something earlier today, and it was talking about the types of intelligence. And our educational system focuses on primarily only one type of intelligence, and that's, you know, intelligence, quote, quotient, which is your IQ, you know. How solvent are you? How can you 1 + 1, 2 + 2? But really it takes so much more than that. And there were three other types of intelligence. It was EQ was another one, which is emotional, which is your emotional intelligence or your emotional quotient. And then SQ, which is your social quotient or your social intelligence. And then the one I found that struck me the most was your AQ, your adversity quotient and your adversity intelligence. And so in the entrepreneur world, your IQ probably is the least of the ones that you would need in terms of building and sustaining an entrepreneur business, because Lord knows you're going to go through adversity. And so at your first sign of adversity, where's your AQ? Where's your adversity quotient? You know, where's your faith? You know, when that adversity touches, when you hit that rough patch, are you going to lose your mind? Are you going to give up? Are you going to, you know, are you going to give up on your faith, you know, and give up on yourself? And so I would put that one at the list in terms of intelligence. And then your social quotient, your social intelligence, which is your charisma, your ability to be able to talk to people and communicate with people, your ability to just network and maintain friends and relationships. You'll be surprised how many people have no sense of maintaining a relationship.
It's tough.
Just a basic. I mean, I'm not even talking about a romantic relationship. I'm talking about basic interaction at the grocery store, customer service interaction.
Yes.
A coworker relationship or just a basic friendship relationship.
Yeah.
People have, you'll be surprised how many people struggle with that because they don't understand it in its totality. And then your emotional quotient and IQ, because the thing about entrepreneurship is it's volatile. It's up and down. You know, you have good bad days. You're going to have high months, low months. But are you going to put your emotions on that roller coaster as well? Or are you going to anchor your emotions? You know, you're going to anchor your adversity quotient and remain steadfast and unmovable throughout the volatility of your business. And so, you know, are you going to keep the time to be, you know, responsible and honest with yourself about your efforts into your business and your expectations from what you're getting? A lot of times, you know, we harp on the expectations of we're not getting what we expected out of the business, but we haven't assessed what we've been putting into it. You know, we haven't assessed the time, the energy, the faith, the work that we've been putting into it, and the diligence, the consistency, you know, that goes into it. And so, and it goes hand in hand. Anytime I notice a tank in my business, it's because I didn't work it the same way. You know, I didn't push it as much that month. I kind of put the cruise control on, you understand? So you can't be disconnected from the outcome with that. And then, so that's why I said lastly, I would put your intelligence quotient, which is basically your IQ, your comprehension. That's at the bottom of the list, because you could be a boss with a, you could have the highest IQ in the room and end up working for the person with a higher EQ and a higher SQ and a higher AQ. And so the smartest person in the room is not always the smartest person in the room. It's the person that knows who is. It's the person who understands how to tailor the strengths of those who are in the room. You understand?
So you said that part that you said, okay, now that's rich. Okay, so you said tailoring the strengths of the person who is.
Yes.
Dive into that part right there. Dive into that.
You know, there are times when, you know, you can sit in a room of people and, you know, if you just sit back and you be quiet and people reveal to you their strengths and their weaknesses, you'll be able to identify who the talker is, who the thinker is. You'll be able to identify with the strengths and weaknesses of your team around you. And a good leader is not always the strongest person. It's the person who can pull out the strengths of everyone in the room. And so if I know that, Erica, you're not hypothetically, you're not a big people's person, but you're a great organizer. You know, I'm listening to you and I'm sitting back and I'm saying, oh, she's not the person that I want to send out to necessarily advocate for the deal, but she may be the person that can organize the plan to go out and do it, right? Or for example, you know, and that's what they're running into in Selma in a lot of ways. Everyone thinks that they are the chief because they can be the loudest in the room. And that's not always, in fact, it's never a tell-all sign of strength. And so that's kind of what I mean when I say, you know, the smartest person in the room is not always the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
It's the person who can sit and observe and has the wisdom and the understanding to be able to identify who he is. And then be smart enough in yourself to allow those strengths to be manifested from those people. You understand? I don't have to be in the front. You understand? I'm okay with you being in the front.
Mm-hmm.
That's not gonna make me insecure in my strengths. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. In fact, that's gonna make the team better. If I can say, okay, yeah. I'll yield here because I'm stronger here, mm-hmm. and you're stronger yeah. here. We put it yeah. all together. We are unstoppable.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, because you're speaking to me and all these quotients, that there's things in each element that I can identify that I'm missing out on, even though and every environment is different. You know, I've learned in life that every environment is different and it pulls on a different type of strength.
Absolutely.
Whereas I could have mastered, you know, we're going to use some as an example, not in a negative way.
Absolutely.
But I could have mastered when there wasn't a crisis. I could have mastered managing people and getting people on board to do community cleanup. But in disaster, I may not be good at that. That may not be something that I'm good at. Even though I've mastered it in my previous season, it doesn't mean that I'm supposed to do it in the next season.
Absolutely.
And so I'm learning, and you're saying this, and I know that we're talking about blessed clothing, but it's more than what you're saying. It says more to than just the clothing line.
Absolutely.
It's about even emotional intelligence when it comes to trading in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I trade Forex, but I don't do a live account right now. I have a demo account, and I stopped in 2020 or something like that, because at the top of the year in January, US 30, I calculated that US 30 was going to go into a buy. And everybody knows you don't mess with US 30. You just don't, because they call it the dirty 30. And so I hit the buy button. I was like, I'm gonna get two pips, and it's gonna make me a whole lot of money. And at one point it went up a little bit, and then all of a sudden something happened in the news and it fell down. I was negative like $750 in less than a minute. And because my emotions were not intact, I couldn't talk myself off of the ledge to just get out and cut my losses and come back tomorrow. I said, you know what? It's gonna come back. The pride of life and the desire to have a win. Sometimes we hold on to things that, you know, we're not supposed to, because we like, I'm about to get this win. And so what you're saying connects to me, because I was just talking to my foreign exchange mentor about the same thing. He said, make sure you check your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you check your emotion. Your emotional intelligence is a priority. So it doesn't only happen in business, but it happens in the stock market.
Well,
you know, go ahead.
Hey, you know, that's really good, E, because seasons know exactly when to change, just like the leaves on the trees. And the same with the seasons of our lives. You know, if you pay attention to the signs and the leaves on the trees in our lives, you'll know when it's time to move to a different space. When I was in the military, I knew it was time for me to transition when it started to become difficult to operate in that space and that season. You know, because I once enjoyed operating in that space and that season. So that's when I knew it was time. When I was doing you know, stock market stuff and day trading, and everybody was, it was trending, and everybody was getting into it. When my spirit said, "Hey, it's time to go ahead and get out," I jumped out and I took profit. And then like a week or two later, everybody was like, "Oh," and I was like, man, I took my loop, but now, you know, because, and you know what? I haven't, you know, not that it's good or bad, but I just haven't done it. I just haven't done it since, you know?
Right.
I'm no longer in that season, you know?
Yes.
You know, and then when I got into insurance and investments, I really saw what I was looking to do with the stock market. Actually, it can be done right here with insurance and investments. I didn't realize how powerful the vehicle insurance is, and I didn't really understand the impact of it on our community as a whole until I actually got a license and started becoming educated on life insurance and its benefits. And you know, just like always, small city, but I'm always trying to look into how things fit into the bigger scheme of things. And you know, even with something as simple as, you know, the police brutality problem that we have in this country and as a black community, life insurance, I think that one of the main reasons that police can kill black people or people of color in this and get away with it at the rate that they do is because our community does not value life insurance as a whole, as a community. Because there aren't many structures that could go toe-to-toe with the structure or an entity like law enforcement or like the police, the structure of policing in America. But that can is insurance companies.
Yeah.
And because they have the money to do so and the means to do so. And if every time a cop killed a black person, that person had a $500,000 policy on them and their family, they had a $300,000 policy, a $100,000 policy on them family, I guarantee you that those insurance companies, it would happen, those instances would occur a lot less. And not only that, there would be some lobbying to Congress by insurance companies that, hey, y'all hitting our pockets. You know,
wow.
We got to do something about these laws that we y'all killing me because y'all hitting our pockets. You understand?
That's rich.
And so when I started doing it, I started with one mindset, like, hey, I'm going to get some life insurance on myself. Get some for my family and the boys and whatnot. But once I started doing it, I'm like, our people need to know about this. And our people need to understand how we can really use this to weaponize and mobilize our community. We've always harped on a generational gap, you know, wealth gap and the disparity in you know, between our community and others.
But I've
never in my childhood and growing up, I rarely ever heard solutions to how to narrow that gap, you know, until I found insurance. It's insurance and investment. That's how other communities, that's one of the main ways that other communities begin to generate and funnel generational wealth throughout their family,
Okay.
It only takes one person to say, hey, it's not just about me. You know, it's about my legacy and those to come after me. It only took one Walton to start Walmart, you know. It only took one Disney to say, hey, you know, now we, you know, we Disney Network, you know, whatever the case.
Yeah.
It only took one. And so life insurance.
Talk about the life insurance and what it is and how a person gets involved with that when it comes to purchasing the life insurance and also becoming an agent with the company. And then talk about what the name of the company is too. I'm interested in that.
I'm licensed through the state. I took my state license through the state here in Georgia, but my company vehicle is through Primerica. And the thing I love about Primerica is that they not only educate you and send you to school and prepare you for your test, but they pay for it.
Okay.
When you pass the test, they reimburse you. The license is basically free.
Yeah.
And once you obtain your license, then they put you on a training track to where you then begin to navigate your warm market, which is your mother, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your auntie, those people who know and trust you. And once you start working that market, it shows you how to just branch off and expand, and eventually you build and sustain your own insurance empire because it's yours, because you're the one. And so although your your back office and your network is under the entity of Primerica. You could take your license and you could operate anywhere you wanted to.
If you
so chose to do so. But I haven't found a reason to yet do that. But that's see, the thing I love about the business is when I first started out, bless you.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. I often tell people, you know, the thing I like about Primerica is I've made good money doing it in a short period of time. But the thing that I love about it is that I've helped people doing it. And when I issue a policy to educate a family on life insurance that never had it before, and she now is able to get a $150,000 policy for herself for $45 a month in her, within her budget or whatever her range, and I'm able to help that family, you know, secure that and then attach an investment vehicle to it to where you don't necessarily have to die to capitalize on your life insurance policy. That's one thing. We show you how to buy and invest the difference. And so put $150 into a whole life policy. I show you how to put $75 into your term life, 35 years, because nobody needs life until they're 100 years old. Rip off. That's the scheme. That's how they get you. They tie you into a policy, to a whole life policy until you're 100 years old, and nobody needs it that long because, you know.
Right.
And by that time the kids are gone, your expenses are low, your income, your money is higher, you know. We show people how to buy term life, 20, 35 year policy, and invest the difference, put the other 75 into a mutual fund, so you won't run into what problem you ran into with your stock. See, with a stock, you got one stock. Just picture one big window pane, right? If I throw a rock and hit that big window pane, that one stock, it crashes. That's what happened with your situation. It goes up.
Yeah. And then it
goes up, and then when it goes down, it goes down.
Right? It was bad. It crashed.
Right? What we do is we show you how to take that and invest it in called a mutual fund, which is a conglomerate of stocks, right? So pick the same big window pane, but now envision 100 small window panes within it, like at a book or something. So now, if one or two or 10 of those stocks go down, you still have another 90 perform, and your portfolio can still sustain and continue to rise. You still make money over time, over that over your term period with your fund. And then you sit down with an investment advisor, And they can tell you, hey, if you want to move moderately, you want to move aggressively, you know, and you're able to invest that way, and which is it's a safer way to invest. It's much safer that I found than dibbling down on the stock market, you know.
Yes. Myself, yeah. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
And so that's one of the. Yes. So that's what I have to tell people. I like the fact that I can make money, you know, in life insurance. But I love the fact that I've been able to help people. I said, I look at it as like I'm doing my part to narrow that generational wealth gap that I always heard about growing as a child. I'm doing my part to be able to educate our people and maybe save a life. In terms of just the next generation or in the future for families, because that's what it's all about. I think our community will forever be as strong as the families of our community. I look at life insurance doing my part in sustaining the fitness for our community as a whole, you know. Rewarding work, though. It's fulfilling work, you know. I like blessing. I like doing the blessing merchandise and things like that. But my insurance, I really smile when I issue a policy to a person.
Yeah.
They say, "Perk, you know, I didn't know it was that easy, and I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Like, I just didn't know, you know." And that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I once didn't know either, I got master's degrees and everything, but this stuff about life insurance, it just wasn't taught.
It's not talked about, especially in the African-American community. I do feel like, you know, when we were kids, now I remember my parents interacted with some agents from Primerica, and they were invited. I remember the two representatives, it was a husband and wife, that came to our house, and there was some Primerica paper. So when you said that, I wrote it down. I was like, oh, I remember them from a child.
Wow.
So they are, I can stand by what he's expressing about Primerica, because when we were kids, my parents actually got involved with the company. And, you know, I think because they got a little busy with their professional lives or whatever, it kind of dwindled away, but we still had the policy. Mm-hmm. But amongst our, and I'm not, this is not a discriminative or racial statement that I'm making, but I do believe that, you know, in Caucasian homes, this is talked about openly. And, you know, families, you know, because we've gone to many different types of churches and ministries, and many different cultural backgrounds, many different diversities. We've experienced different, you know, caliber of individuals. And, you know, I've heard where, you know, we have quite a few Caucasian friends. I'm trying to be careful with that word with, you know, I don't want nobody to feel singled out. But, you know, there was a guy that was like, hey, you know, we have a plan. And our kids know the plan. And he was in his 30s or 40s. There was a binder in the house so that if anything happened to him or his wife, the children knew all the bank accounts, knew where everything was, and everything was open. And that, you know, every child knew who was getting A, B, and C. They created this document that showed, you know, this is the plan. These are all of our account numbers, you know, TSPs or what have you. And so if anything takes place, go get that book.
Yep.
And you guys will know what to do. And I feel like sometimes on the African-American side, there's a fear to talk about, you know, anything dealing with, you know, the passing on of or death or something like that, as if it's a taboo subject. You know, it is a delicate and fragile subject, but I do feel like having this conversation about life insurance with your families, especially being African American, it has to be had, and we have to break it down, open up, and talk about it. You know, and unfortunately, the conversation, you know, we didn't have the conversation with our mom before she passed. We had to kind of piece through everything and work together. And thank God, me and my siblings, we were okay with doing that. We didn't destroy us and destroy our relationship. We were able to go through, you know, our mom's things, go through our mom's paperwork and stuff like that. But everybody may not have that relationship. You know, everybody may not have the ability to, you know, weather those types of storms. And so, you know, if you don't have life insurance, you know, I stand with him in agreement that this is something that you need to talk about. And if you're not comfortable talking about it, have a representative come into your home, because I believe Primerica does still do home visits.
Yeah.
They do still go out and visit and talk to families about the importance of life insurance and how to set those things up. And do y'all talk about trust and stuff like that?
Absolutely. In fact, now with everything being virtual since, you know, post-COVID, we do all of our meetings via Zoom. And so, you know, we don't necessarily have to come to your home. Pull it up and share my screen with you, and then we about trust and financial investments, vehicles, and just consider us the Amazon of financial service in terms of all of the services that we can provide, all the way down to like a Medicare supplemental, Medicare for seniors. There are a number of mortgage loans and mortgage insurance and things like that. There are a number of services that Primerica can provide to help in terms of when it comes to investment. But the bread and butter is definitely life insurance. And like you said, our community, I want to see us do a better job of harping off insurance, understanding the importance of it, and getting it for ourselves and for our children. One of the things that I did that I wish would have been done for me, you know, is that I set up, you know, for my three boys, I set all of them up to where I maybe put $35 a month in my youngest, $45 a month in my middle boy, maybe $50 a month in my oldest boy, since he's a little older. I started a little bit. But I got with my financial advisor through Primerica, and she said, okay, these accounts went over to your boys when they turned 21. Okay. What would you like for them to look like, Mr. Kirby? You know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm like, okay, I don't know, maybe 50,000, maybe 50,000 in each of the accounts. She says, that okay, you can put this, you can put this amount, and I'm like, okay, that's. I thought I could do a little more than that. What would 100,000 look like if I tried to do 100,000 in each of their accounts? And she says, okay, 35, 45. I'm like, I can. That's within my budget range, right? And so I tailored it like that. So now once I set that up, that was one of the most rewarding and relief days I had. I felt good. I did that because you know, they're gonna be straight when they turn 21. They get those accounts rolled over into, and at the end of the day, if they're not ready for it, that's gonna be, hey, I'm managing them accounts. You know what I'm saying? Like,
facts. Yes, yes, yes. I'm gonna make sure, and I love this because I can think of my. I have. I'm about to be a grandma. You know, and so yeah, we found out that, you know, our daughter's expecting. So I know for our grandson, I'll definitely be looking you up for that.
Absolutely.
And a granddaughter, whoever, whatever it's gonna be, but we'll be looking you up for that. But our my sister has two boys. She has two sons, and my brother has a son. So those three are going to need something set up because, you know, I've been talking to her about, hey, we need to get something going monthly for the boys. We need to get something monthly because, you know, I'm on that side of family, the boys run deep. I don't know what it is that they just, because she got two boys, my brother got a boy. It's a lot of boys. So we've been having these discussions together about what we can do since my mom passed. How can we set them up with, you know, generational wealth and having something? And so I feel like this is the perfect opportunity to, you know, call her and talk to her and say, hey, what do you think about this? Remember when mom and dad did Primerica when we were kids? Why don't you set them up with this account? And then, you know, they have something set up where when they're 21, they'll have X amount of dollars in their account. Because right now, I believe she just has all their money going into a savings account. But I'm gonna make sure I get your contact information for this so that at least you can get on a Zoom call with her and have a discussion about it. She's a school teacher in New Jersey.
Absolutely.
You know, her fiance is he runs a barber who, let me put this out there, is Charlamagne. He cut Charlamagne the God's hair. That's his primary barber.
Well, you ain't got much how to cut, but
we always tease him. We always be like, yo, what you cutting on Charlamagne's head? You know, but he's a cool guy. He's a cool guy. And, you know, so he's the primary barber. And so these are two people that I want to connect with you to make sure that the information gets out. And I'll talk to Ty about, hey, can you put this bug in Charlamagne's ear about this part? And you know, see where it goes. It's always good to just pass. It's just about passing information.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is about. It's just passing information.
I'm glad to help them, and I appreciate that. And that's what it's all about: networking and you know, paying it forward. And because I do the exact same thing if the roles were reversed. And primarily, just, you know, it's as simple as them letting me know their availability. Send me an email address so I can send you an appointment link and Zoom link reminder. Mm-hmm. And you just show up. And when you show up, I'm going to lay it all out for you. And then once we get to the portion where you want to try to discuss your quotes, you know, you let me know. I say, listen, Perk, I don't want to spend more than about $700 a month on this, you know. And then I plug and play. And we make your budget work for you. But at the end of the day, I'm a strong advocate of life insurance now that I've gotten educated on it. And like I said, I really believe that it could solve not just the generational, you're talking about monetary conditions of our collective community.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, also the social and a lot of injustices. I think it also would... I'm not gonna say it would give us value because we are valued children of God. We are valued, but it would give us value in the eyes of some who would not see that value the same, and who would and who would brutalize and kill us, you know, with no sense of remorse or regret or consequence.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if those insurance companies are feeling the brunt of those instances, they would occur a lot less.
Yes, I agree with that.
And so, just get with me. Listen, policies by perk. That's what I call it.
Right, exactly. I would. That's awesome. I definitely will. And you know, we get off here. Just send me your links and everything so that I can also share it on here. I'm really thankful to have you on here. I know you have a family and I don't want to belabor your time, but I really do appreciate the plug. And you know, guys, before we get off here, he's got a lot of projects that he's working on. He's got the Blessed Clothing line, which is, he has some fire clothes on it. I've looked, I've had a chance to peruse through the website. And so I'm going to be sending Maurice some requests on certain things that I want to purchase. And there's some things on there I know Maurice would want as well. Also, he's got, not only does he have the clothing line, he's also working with Primerica Insurance, which I'm going to make sure that I put it in the comments, his direct link, so we can support him. And it go, the credit goes straight to him. And it just doesn't go to a general, you know, the general Primerica. But we're going to make sure we put the link out there for you guys to go in and click on that link to get more information about life insurance. It is so important, so vital, especially during these times, these crazy times that everything is just going, the world is just going. You just never know. You know, all, if you watch the news, you know, kids, there's school shootings. You know, this is not the time to wait on getting insurance to say, I'll get it next time. Get the information you need so you can secure your family. It is so important. I just experienced, you know, in my family, you know, my mom passing, and, you know, we had to actually go to family to get help to, you know, handle, you know, what we needed to handle. And, you know, we did the GoFundMe, but that shouldn't have to be the case. That shouldn't have to be. If we can just, we're advocating for families right now, that should anything happen, that, you know, your family's taken care of and they don't have to worry about certain things, the time is now, especially with the stuff going on with the news, with little ones. It's not just the adults that's struggling with heart attacks and stuff like that. It's not that. It's actually the enemy's coming for our babies.
Exactly.
The enemy's coming for our babies. So yes, it is important for you to have life insurance for your children too. It's not Absolutely. Just about you securing your future and making sure that you have to secure your children too. So this is just what this is about. The other thing that he's into, I saw you had an acting gig. You're getting ready to do a movie. And I'm like, wait, what? So what is happening?
On your own words,
Yes, sir.
Oh, bless it. That's one of those long time aspirations. And that's why it's important to make sure your emotional quotient is always intact and your adversity quotient is always at the forefront, because I never lost sight of that goal or dream that I had, even though I went through years where I could not pursue it. Like I said, God works in all ways, always masterfully. And I never would have thought I'd end up in Atlanta, because I was stationed in El Paso, Texas, doing my military service, and I spent my entire service time there, and ended up in Atlanta, Georgia from there. And the plan was to move back home, but as close as I could get was Atlanta, Georgia. But like I said, God works in mysterious ways. And and being my agent, I was able to come up with a few opportunities. I worked with a young writer and producer by the name of Muhammad White on my first short film. We did a short film called The Sacrifice, which is going to be premiering soon. Hopefully in the next month it'll be premiering. But Muhammad White is a young, great writer, director, and producer, young protege Tyler Perry works, you know, he works up under Tyler Perry, so he's one of those up and coming guys. The Stars Network series BMF, Black Mafia Family, is on Stars Network. You may see me pop up on the screen once or twice in season.
Stop.
Yeah, you may see me.
Oh, it's on now. Me and Maurice, I know Maurice is watching, but babe, he's yeah, gonna be
he may see me pop in and out of, you know, and then me and me.
That is amazing. And it brings my heart joy to see people succeed. It really does. And, you know, this is just a small, you know, gift or token of you know, my gratitude for meeting you and just for you doing the show, doing a podcast. And I'm really excited about, you know, to see the movie. What's the name of the movie again?
The short film will be called The Sacrifice.
The Sacrifice.
The Sacrifice. And then, you know, I'm in a season now, E, where the spirit say move, I move. You know, and whether that's, you know, helping a person with a policy or doing a film or making a song or just, you know, getting out in the yard, cutting the grass, you know, I just move with the flow, you know.
That's all right.
Outside of raising my boys, that's pretty much, you know, my boys are my priority. They're my primary priority, you know, and, blessed to be a part of their lives day in and out. But it's a labor of love, you know.
Okay.
But it's labor nonetheless. Raising children is labor nonetheless. If you ever raise two, so you know.
and we still raising one of them, right?
So, you know, so it's a labor of love. So, but I'm glad to be able to enjoy, because, you know, I oftentimes have to remind myself that these are the times that I pray for. So when God puts you in the season that you prayed for, you have to cherish and don't curse your blessing, because there once was a time where I could get no family time. I was deployed. I was in the field, or, you know, and then so you appreciate it. And so now that I have it, the last thing I'd want to do is take it for granted. So, and so, yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to sit down with you, big sister.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah, I really do. And Maurice is a blessed man to have you as his helpmate. And you guys inspire me, even if through the fitness, through your faith walks, you know, your family walk, I just love to see it. You know, I've marveled at Maurice, like I said, since I was a kid. But I really watched his fitness journey over my lifetime. And I've seen him overcome injuries and come back bigger, stronger, you know. And that's the blueprint of life, you know. That's the formula of life, you know.
Yes.
You knock down, you get back up again, you keep working.
And you keep
achieving. And so I'm proud of my big brother, Maurice. I knew from the first time I laid eyes on him playing that drum at the church, I said, I like that brother. I like that. You know, he made me play the drums, and I did. I went on to play the drums because of him, you know.
Yes.
And then we took a trip over to Alabama State. We went over for maybe the Turkey Day Classic football game or something. And at this time, I was in the band. I hope you don't get me for telling the story. But I just remember standing up there in the Raptors in the stadium, and the band was playing "Let's Get It On," and he was the lead singer of the band, you know. And you know, as a little kid, you know, I always marveled at college bands anyway. But to see my big bro down here leading the squad, man, and then I said, man, he can do no wrong in my eyes. He can never do.
That's right.
Never do any wrong in my eyes.
Yes, Maurice is he is a good soul. His soul is good.
So pure.
His soul is just so pure. And, you know, I love that about my husband. His soul is so pure. And we try to hold fast to, you know, God's plan for our life closely. Mm. And, you know, I was talking to, cause we don't do a whole lot. Me and my husband, we don't do a whole lot. And I think that's why, you know, we've gone so well together over the years. We stay in the house. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to one of my friends from high school, and she was congratulating us on becoming grandparents. And she was telling Nevaeh, your mama, she didn't do nothing as a kid. She said, trying to get her to do anything was like watching the paint dry on the walls.
Watching the paint dry on the walls.
Yeah, it wasn't that. I just didn't have certain desires. I just don't have, but I mean, I thank God for Maurice because of how he is, who he is, and how he's loved, you know, us as a family over the years. He's been, you know, committed to us, and I value him and I appreciate him. And I appreciate you for expressing the impact that he has made over our lives, you know, over your life.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, even from childhood. And I just want to thank you for that. But I also want to encourage you that, you know, you just continue to do, continue to blaze trails that you may feel that you shouldn't blaze. You know, the things that God is telling you to do, go ahead into those areas, because people need to see persons in those, dabbling in certain things, because they need your light. They need your light. And I watch people's social media page. I watch your page, and, you know, some of the things that you share, you know, you really do, that really needs to be on the platform, because this generation needs that straightforward and direct message. You know, there's jewels and wisdom that, you know, you have, and I'm sure that you've gotten that over the years that came through in time with time. But even with the social quotation, all that, I was sitting down writing that stuff down. I'm like, man, this is it. People need to hear that. And, you know, I just hope that, and I pray that God continues to elevate you in your endeavors, and that the devil will not squelch your gift. And that you don't allow past failures and things that you feel are not adequate in your life. You don't allow that to squelch your gift, because it is a gift. And sometimes when we have gifts, those people that have those gifts, we get it the worst. We get the worst pushback. We get it, you know, the worst, you know, resistance. But I just want to say to you that, you know, your work that you're doing is, you know, is affirmed by God. And just keep doing what you're doing. I'm cheering for you. Maurice is cheering for you. You have people. There's more for you than it is against you. And yet, continue with the messages that you give, because they need.
I was raised around, like Maurice, and we were raised by bold men and women, you know. You know, being from Selma, Alabama, we were raised by people who stood, you know, when they had to stand by themselves, you know, who fought when it seemed like they would have to, you know, have to go alone. And, you know, one of the things that my mentor, pastor, always said is, you know, trust God and stand. And if you have to stand by yourself, stand, because you're not by yourself. He's always standing with you. And,
yes.
And so, you know, I rarely get into who likes me and who doesn't. That's never been something that kept me up at night. Who likes what I say, or who disagrees with it, because everyone's entitled. I just speak my convictions, and I speak my truth from a place of love, and then I go to sleep, you know, and I rest easy after that, because like Maurice, you know, my intentions are always pure, my purpose is always the people, and at the end of the day, I only want what's best, not just for myself, but for others, you know, and so I send the same to you for having me. And blessings to you going forward. And you keep being a beacon of light, sis. You keep being a platform of perfection that you are. And hopefully you can have me back, you know, at some point down the road. I know you booked up all the way out to December, but...
Actually, June. I think it's June or July, but I will have you back. I want to talk after that. You do that episode. That's going to be really awesome. Yeah, so we'll definitely have you back on. I know we're hitting our hour together, and I'm really thankful. But thank you so much for being on here. Guys, don't forget, like, share, comment, and subscribe for your chance to win. And I'll do the drawing on Friday. And once you get your name gets selected, I'm going to reach out to you and say, hey, you know, you're the winner. I need your name and address. And then I'm going to order your stuff, and it's going to be shipped right to you. But right. His website, I believe, is blessedware.com, blessedware.com, www.blessedware.com. So go on that website and just check them out. Just kind of see, you know, what you might or might not be getting.
But
we got some.
You can always inbox me for your customizations. Like, if you like this hoodie I have on, but you want it on a different color, hey, I can see that on a blue or a black or a pink. You know, I can customize my pieces too. So, You know, awesome. I'm very flexible. That's the beauty of having your own thing. You can do it how you want to. So, you know, awesome. If you don't see what you like there, just let me know. We can get it to you.
Okay, awesome. Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth. He can customize anything. Well, with that, guys, thank you guys again for tuning into this episode. I feel like this was a very rich episode, a lot of information passed in it, a lot of jewels, a lot of nuggets. So we just want to thank Justin for coming on with us and sharing his heart and sharing his passion about insurance, which we all need. And we're going to close out with that, and I'll give you a call after this. God bless, guys. Have a good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. I am so honored to have you as my special guest. Listeners like you make this podcast possible, and we look forward to meeting up again soon. As we celebrate our next week of many episodes, stay tuned for future blogs and announcements as we speak gems and needed wisdom into your life. For more information, blogs, and podcasts, visit our website at liftwomensdevotions.blog. That's liftwomensdevotions.blog.